So well, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we'll continue volume 22, 7, 10, 27. My daughter, the triumph of God is the human will operating in His own. So here we see it's the complete surrender, complete docility, complete submission to God, that God is in charge of our human will, that God reigns in our human will. So He doesn't want to destroy our human will. What He wants us to do is to allow Him to be Lord of everything that we think, say, and do. And this is the great gift of the divine will. He needs us to cooperate so that He can bring about a new beginning for all of mankind. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly, but it's really to begin to live a life of heaven, to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Now, the saints before us had a virtue or two of Jesus, a virtue or two of Mary. Okay, and, you know, they had to go through great sufferings, great fastings, penances. They had to really go through the martyrdoms of total surrender to do the will of God, and still live in the human will. Well, things have changed. When we are called to go through the martyrdom of martyrdoms, to surrender completely to Jesus and Mary, to surrender completely to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that we can begin to live a life that God originally planned. So the martyrdom of martyrdoms that God is asking us to do is never to give life to our human will, but to only give life to live in God's holy divine will. So that means that we have to crucify on the cross with Jesus all our worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, so that it never has life again. That we begin to live a life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So the consequences of the divine will is to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. It's really to begin to live heaven. So when you look at what the saints have gone through, the saints have gone through horrific martyrdoms, you know, horrific sufferings. And yet Jesus is asking us to not give life to our human will, to always say fiat. And by giving this fiat, we begin to live in God's holy divine will. So He says, the triumph of God is that the human will is now operating in God's own divine will. God is in complete charge of the human will. This is God's victory, to have what came out of Him come back into Himself, into His own divine will. As the soul operates in the divine will, the soul extends within the divine boundaries, and then the soul's acts take their place in everything that is eternal. See, that's where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to live in eternity. And at this point, we have to understand we're living in time, we're living in space. So what happens is God begins to free us. When you go from vocal prayer to meditative prayer to contemplative prayer, what happens at that point is you are being freed to begin to live a life that is separating itself from earth, even though you're on earth. In contemplative prayer, you come to a point where you experience your nothingness, and at the same time, you experience everything of God. So you experience your complete, you're like as small as an atom, yet if you're in a basilica, you fill the entire basilica. And this is the beginning of a life that Jesus wants you to experience. He wants you to understand how little and insignificant you are, yet at the same time, with God, you possess everything. So It's really amazing. You're nothingness, and yet at the same time, you're everything with God. So this helps you to begin to enter into this new era that hasn't been really documented, because no one has lived it but Louisa. It's the life of Jesus and Mary, but that's not been documented. We don't know what happened. But Jesus explains to Louisa, this is how I prayed, this is how my mother prayed. When we begin to live this, it's new. It's a new way of praying that is so astonishing that you really begin to live your nothingness, and at the same time, you really begin to live your fullness with God, your oneness with God. This is what I can't wait until the theologians start discussing this and explaining in detail the life that Louisa possessed, the life that now God is asking us to possess. So again, this is why you have to have a spiritual director to help you. Find a priest, and it could be any priest, any good priest, and you just basically say, Father, can you help me? And you can give him the hours of the Passion. You could give him the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. You can give him Father Bucci's book, the Life of Louisa, and the Memoirs of Louisa. And what will happen is once he tastes this spiritually, he'll say, "Where is there anything more I can read?" And then you have a priest, and that's our job. Our job is to help the priests embrace this. This, as Father Bucci said, it's the responsibility of the priests to take care of this gift. And Father Bucci explains it very well. He says that for a layman to go to an altar and say, "This is my body," is foolish. Well, Jesus says that the divine will is the first bread. It's the very first bread. It's the bread that Adam lived on. Jesus says, "I have a food that you do not know of." And as the priest is in charge of the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, the second bread, the priest is also in charge of the first bread. And it will be the priest, Jesus says, who will give this to the world. First the Pope, to the bishops, to all the priests. So, again, it's very, very important that you're going to enter into the supernatural. You're going to enter into things that are, you know, can be misunderstood. And that's why Father Bucci says, you know, don't just follow someone who says, "Well, I think this is what it means." You know, go to a priest and make sure that the priest understands your situation and helps you. And at the same time, you'll be helping them enter into this great gift. So, Jesus says, as the soul operates in the divine will, she extends within the divine boundaries, and her acts take their place in everything that is eternal. That's where we are. That's where we're supposed to be living. And it is true that my divine will is everywhere. There is not one point that can escape it. But where does it carry out its power? Where does it carry out its divine operating? And Jesus says, the power and the operating is in the soul who lives in the divine will. That's Louisa. And hopefully it's us, if we're linked to Louisa. Okay, where does the divine will carry out its divine power? Where does the divine will carry out its divine operating? In Louisa, and the soul's linked to Louisa. And this is why this blessing for Father Bucci is so important for us. As Louisa asked him to be an apostle of the divine will, Father Bucci is now asking us to receive that same blessing, to be an apostle of the divine will. And that doesn't mean you go, you know, knocking on doors, you know, and say, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'm giving you this tract so that you can understand." It's to live it. It's not to go door to door. It's not to say to your family and friends, you know, "Oh, it's the divine will," you know, because you'll be filled with zeal, but your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. I mean, I was talking to my sister. My sister, she goes to daily mass. She prays the rosary. She wears the scapular. She loves God. She watches EWTN. But she will not touch the divine will. And the reason is, she just looks at me like, you're completely out of your mind. You know? And I'm trying to say, you know, this is so important for God, so important for the world, so important for the church. And she goes, I don't believe it. So I can't give her anything. And so I just have to, you know, pray that God blesses her and that he helps her when the times are falling apart. You see, he says, Jesus said, these writings are going to get us through the most difficult times that the world will ever experience. It is going to be so horrific that the only way to get through what's coming is by learning how to live in the divine will. It's going to be very, very tough. So Jesus says, the soul who lives in the divine will gives the divine will the occasion for new works. Every time you see new, you got to put God. God works. New God works. The soul allows it to put out the beauty, the beautiful, and the holy that the divine will possesses inside. So what's going to happen is the soul who lives in the divine will gives the divine will the occasion for new divine works, God works. And then the soul allows the divine will to put out from that soul the beautiful, the holy, the greatness of God. And that's what you're going to experience. As you begin to live this, as you begin to pray this, things are going to happen that you're going to say, this is magnificent. You know, Eddie was telling me earlier, what God is giving, we don't even yet understand how great this is, how magnificent this is. We're not even aware of just even the simple blessing that Father Bucci gave us. This is phenomenal. And it's not by chance that you're here. It's not by chance that God wants you to possess this. He's got great, great plans. And it's not ordinary. It's not anything that he has given to the saints before. Because this is not about a virtuous life. And this is what we're going to see. Jesus says, it happened as it did in creation. Our divine being existed ab eternal, but nothing could be seen outside of ourselves before creation. Because all of our divine operating, all of our divine portents, all the divine beatitudes were carried out within ourselves, the triune God. But when our divine being wanted to operate outside of ourselves, our divine will had the occasion to operate, and it issued the whole universe in such sumptuousness, order, and harmony as to form the amazement of all human generations and the triumph and the victory of our supreme being. I mean, when we just use Hubble telescope just to see what's out there, we are astonished. I think when Hubble's telescope a few years ago focused on the darkest part of the universe, and they focused on the darkest part, they found hundreds of thousands of galaxies. In the darkest, once they focused there, all of a sudden it was filled with if you want to say, life, with light. See, our God created the whole universe for us. And for all eternity, we're going to tour the universe. We're going to experience the universe. I mean, we have been created for eternity, not for time or space. So we can actually go where God would want us to go, where we would want to go. And that's why it says everything, the whole universe was produced with such sumptuousness and order and harmony as to form the amazement of all human generations and the triumph and the victory of God's supreme being. The same with the soul, this is Louisa and us linked to Louisa, who lives in our divine will. As she operates, she gives it the occasion to form more works worthy of the divine will. Therefore, the soul is our continuous triumph, In the carrying out of our divine works, the soul keeps the divine attitude up, so while forming our triumph and our victory, at the same time, the soul triumphs and conquers the divine will. Therefore, both one and the other are seen as victorious, God and the littleness of the soul. Do you think it is trivial that the littleness of the soul sings victory, moves the divine will to operate and conquer it? Do you see, we are not supposed to be 1,000,000,000 miles away from God. We're not supposed to be, you know, limited and finite. We're not supposed to get old. We're not supposed to get gray haired. We're not supposed to be wrinkled, and we're not supposed to die. Our bodies are not supposed to be food for worms. That was never God's plan. And so Jesus is now saying, since I have redeemed mankind, and mankind now is beginning to live the Catholic life, the universal life, beginning to live faithful and obedient lives, I can now give this gift of the divine will back to my family, my children. What is so amazing about this gift is we have been chosen by God, as Louisa was chosen, to begin to live this life if, only if, we give our fiat. And so that's the thing that Jesus is asking of us, is that we give up our human misery. We don't want to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative. We don't want to sin anymore. And you have to say that to Jesus. You have to say, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want to live my miserable human will. I don't want to have to go to confession every week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I didn't do. I want to live a perfect life. So Jesus tells Louisa this. He says, each one of us, he says, God wants to create a divine masterpiece. Our uniqueness is so important to God that he wants to create a divine masterpiece with each and every one of us. None of us have the same pattern. None of us have the same fingerprints. None of us have the same talents. And the reason is God loves us so much that he loves our uniqueness. And he wants us to fall in love with him to such a degree that we, each and every one of us, can love God perfectly, better than anybody else. How can that be? How can I love God better than any other human? Because of my uniqueness. Our uniqueness is so important to God. He wants to create a divine masterpiece with us. Each one is going to be different. One will be a sculpture, one will be a painting, one will be an etching, one will be a watercolor. God has got great, great plans. One carved out of marble, one carved out of granite. You know, God has such great plans. He wants to create in each of us a living, breathing masterpiece. And so we have to say to Jesus, you know, anything that I thought, said, and done, I'm really sorry, outside of your will. I want to repair this. I want to redo this so that you, Lord, will have your way with me. You can do with me as you please. Create me as you originally planned, how you want me to be. See, this is what's so beautiful about this great gift of the divine will. It's not to be jealous of anybody else. What God has given to each one is so unique that he needs us to just say, fiat. Nobody is better than anybody else. Can you imagine a sculpture saying to a painting, look at you, you know, and the painting saying to the sculpture, look at you. I mean, it's to become what God wants to create us to be. Again, you're going to experience God working with you in such a way that you become another Christ. See, Jesus showed the Louisa the saints walking up wooden ladders, and he says, "Who's that?" Well, that's Saint Francis. Oh, there's Saint Clair and there's St. Dominic, and he goes, who's on the other ladder? Who's going up the golden ladder? And these are the children who live in the divine will. And he says, what do you see, Louisa? And she says, I see Jesus. And it's each one is Jesus. I see Jesus. I see Jesus. I see Jesus. See, we are to be in God's image and likeness. And again, it goes far beyond the saints. The saints will follow the holy humanity of Christ. And they became saints because of doing the will of God, but not living in the will of God. So God has saved the best for last. You look at the beautiful people of the Old Testament. None of them were baptized. None of them received the ontological change of baptism. None of them received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. None of them received the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. They received parts of that, but it was saved for the saints. And now Jesus says, I've saved the best for last. And what he wants us to become is mere images of himself. This goes far beyond being a saint. And this is why the Vatican is in awe of what Jesus taught Louisa. Because it's much, much more than what you've ever read in any of the lives of the saints. It's much, much more than what the saints have been pointing to. Because when you read Louisa, and if you've read the saints, you go, my goodness, this is so much more beautiful. It's so much more filled with life and light. See, the Lord has got great, great plans, and he's asking us to really be part of this. So he says very clearly, are we at the same, the soul?
Yeah.
Okay, the same with the soul who lives in our divine will. As she operates, she gives it the occasion to form more works worthy of God, worthy of the divine will. Therefore, she is our continuous triumph and the carrying out of our divine works. Again, this is Louisa. Louisa keeps the divine attitude up. So while forming our triumph and our victory at the same time, the soul triumphs and conquers the divine will. Therefore, both one and the other are seen as victorious. God and the littleness of the creature, do you think it is trivial that the littleness of the creature sings victory, sings triumph, moving the divine will to operate and conquer it? 522, 7, 26, 27, I was lamenting because of the privation of my sweet Jesus. In pouring out my intense sorrow, I said to myself, how hard is his abandonment? Abandonment is, I feel as though I am under the press, squeezed drop by drop. Oh, Jesus, where are your promises? Where is your love? Where is the triumph of your divine will in my poor soul? I feel as though betrayed by you. How bitter is my end? It is not the beginning that one must look at. It is the end that says everything. So here, Louisa, see, she did not just see Jesus. This is not a locution. This is not an apparition. This is not a vision. That was for the saints. What Louisa was experiencing was God himself. She saw God. God was her life. And Louisa said, when I don't see Jesus, I am dead. There is no life in me. The sorrow that Louisa went through when she didn't see Jesus shows us that this is not a vision. I know visionaries. I know locutionists. And they do pretty well outside of that apparition, vision, or locution. Louisa couldn't live. She couldn't breathe without Jesus. Jesus was her life. This is what the church understands. She wasn't complaining all the time. She was saying, I can't breathe. I can't live without him. Again, we're going to see how much she loved Jesus, how much Jesus loved her. But while I was pouring myself out, my beloved Jesus, my beloved good, moving in my interior told me, my daughter, my divine will has its triumph in you, Louisa. And this is why it squeezes you drop by drop under the divine press, so that not even a drop of your human will may be left in you. Poor daughter, It is a divine and unshakable will that works you in order to lay its kingdom in you. And even in your littlest acts, therefore, patience, do not lose heart. Okay, and what we see here is why volume 1 through volume 4 is very tough to read. Because Jesus takes Louisa and crushes her. He takes her and he crushes her. The reason is he's going to reform her. He's taking this clay, redoing it into a new form. You know, volume 1 through volume 4 is very, very hard to read. What I ask people to do is read volume 11 through volume 14 first. Get really joyful. Get really happy. And then go back to volume 1 and see what God has to do to get her to this point. He has to crush out of her everything that is human. And why? Because she is the mother of the second generation of the children of light. She is going to bring about a new beginning for mankind. I mean, you heard Father Bucci. You know that the devil did not want Father Bucci to be on, and he may try to do everything to stop it. He always does. We've got to figure out a way to trick him so that he can get Bucci on more often. But what did Father Bucci show us? How important Louisa is, how beautiful Louisa is, how loving Louisa is, how much God loves Louisa. And because of Louisa, it's a whole new beginning for the church and for the world. And everyone will become Catholic. Everyone will. Because once we see what God has done with this newborn, everybody's going to say, I want that life. I want to live that life. I will do anything to live that life. Therefore, patience, do not lose heart. My divine will has two characteristics. Unshakable firmness and an incessant act. And this is why, when the soul has given herself to the divine will, its work is incessant. Don't you feel that it's a continuous motion within yourself? And when I, God, manifest to you, Louisa, a truth about the divine will with a mastery that is all its own and divine, it places its incessant motion and attitude, and it repeats it continuously within you, Louisa. And while repeating it, it triumphs, because it does in you, Louisa, what it does within itself of its own nature. And this is not then, is this not then the triumph of my divine will? So what happens in Louisa happens in God, happens in the divine will. See, this is what God originally planned. He breathed into dirt. He breathed into Adam, bringing Adam, this dirt, to life. Not only to life, but in God's image and likeness, so that Adam could do what God does. There was no other gods around. God couldn't share this divinity with other gods. So he breathed his breath, his ruah, the breath of life, into dirt, so that this dirt man would become an image and likeness of God. And there's no reason for this except for the great love of God and wanting to share his life with someone. And he created us. And Adam lost it. God says, I will redeem lost man. Our Lady said, I will co-redeem with you. And now 2,000 years later, they have a newborn. And God says, I'm going to recreate the face of the earth. That's the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. It's a whole new beginning for the whole world. This is why St. Padre Pio said the world and the church is going to focus on Louisa Pagreta in the third millennium. It's a new beginning for mankind. And God is saying to us, would you please be willing to allow me to work within you as I did with Louisa. And that's all we say is fiat. Let it be done as you say. Volume 24, 5, 6, 28. According to my usual way, I was all immersed in that divine fiat, that more than sun shines in my poor soul. And my always lovable Jesus moving in my interior told me, my daughter Louisa, my love toward the children of my divine will shall be such and so great that I shall not permit that they shall touch the earth. Okay. This is a prophecy of Jesus. I could go into that, but we'll just read a little bit here. I shall lay my steps under their feet so that if they walk, they may touch my steps, not the earth, in such a way as to feel with them the life of my steps, and I shall communicate the life of the steps of my divine will to the steps of the children of my divine will. See, it's Jesus come walk in my walking. Jesus come dance in my dancing. Jesus come swim in my swimming. See, we want to allow God to have full reign. He says we will not touch the earth. This is going to be the fun part in the new era. I think a couple people are going to be flying a little higher than 2 feet, you know. Flying, I think, is going to be kind of fun without a plane. See, Jesus has got great, 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 great plans. This means we walk on the water. It's very clear. When Jesus said to Peter, come out, you come out. You think it's me, come out. And Peter walks 20 feet and sinks. Jesus didn't say, good job, you walked 20 feet. He goes, why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where's your faith? We're going to be doing things that, I mean, don't limit God. Don't limit him. Because once you say, I don't think so, God says, fine, I don't think so either. So we say to Jesus, do with me as you wish. You know, surprise me. God goes, you really want me to surprise you? I mean, listen to what he says. My love towards my children and the divine will shall be such and so great that I shall not permit that they touch the earth. More of heaven than of earth. Father Bucci said today. He said, as the last 9 years of her life, she was more of heaven than of earth. There was something about her that was not earthly. To the point was when she died, her blood was circulating through her body, but there was no heartbeat, there was no breath. Her eyes were not dilated. There was no rigor mortis. And they took 4 days for the doctors to say, I think she's dead. And then when his sister, Gemma, brought her downstairs, she said she was as light as a feather. There was no weight to her at all. She wasn't of the earth. See, God is going to be doing this with us. And he's going to be showing us things that are going to really astonish us. The healings that are coming are going to be spectacular. His physical, spiritual, mental, emotional healings. See, God is going to perfect us while on earth, not after we die. And this is the thing that's going to so astonish all the world. If they work, they shall feel the touch of my works, that lining up shall communicate the virtue of my divine will to their works. If they speak, if they think, they shall feel the life of my words and of my thoughts, that investing them shall communicate the virtue of my fiat to their minds and their words. So I myself shall be the carrier of the children of my divine will. I shall be very jealous that they may not touch anything, so that they may take part in nothing, and they may feel my life flowing continuously within them, forming the life of my eternal will in theirs. So he doesn't want us to be contaminated by the earth, because we will be living a life of heaven. See, this divine will is not after we die, it's to begin now. Therefore, they shall be the most beautiful works of my created hands, and oh, how the work of creation shall be reflected in my children. They shall be the triumph of my redemption. Everything shall triumph in them, and they shall be able to say, My works are complete, and I shall take rest in the midst of the children of my supreme fiat. See, this isn't good or holy or saintly. This goes beyond this. And all our Lord is asking is that we let Him do this. Just let me do this for you. That's why St. Louis de Montfort says, you know, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the world, his of the church, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. 5:24, 7:4, 28. This indeed is the great prodigy of a living in my divine will. Littleness can embrace divine immensity. Weakness can carry divine strength. The nothing can possess the everything, the all of God. The creature, basically, carrying basically the Creator. Wherever there is life of my divine will, there are all the prodigies united together. The infinite, the eternal, lets himself be carried as though in triumph in the little arms of Louisa, who lives in the divine will. Because in Louisa, they look not at her, but at the divine will that has the right over everything, can do anything, and embrace everything, so that Louisa can give everything to her God as her own. Do you see this is not saintly? And it's triumphant, because God is doing this. And this is why this great gift of the divine will, this blessing that we have received from Louisa through Father Bucci, is very, very important. You know, he is going to do this, but don't get in the way. Don't say, well, I'm going to do this now, and I'm going to do that, and I'm just back off and let God reign. And let God say to you, and he says very gently, you know, walk this way. You know, sit and listen. See, you're going to be very surprised that your plans are not God's plans. His plans are so beautiful if you let Him operate. This is what Louisa did. In fact, was it not my fiat that extended the heavens and populated the heavens with stars? If it had the virtue of making them, it also had the virtue of embracing them, of letting them be carried in triumph like a light feather. And that goes back to Louisa. By the creature, Louisa, who lives in the divine will. Therefore, continue your flight in the divine will, and you shall do everything. Give me everything, and to ask me for everything. It's not just a few things anymore. It's everything. So this flight, again, is very important in the divine will. You are not going to touch earth anymore once you begin to live in the divine will. Continue your flight, Jesus says. He says, do everything. Give me everything. Ask me for everything. And this is divine. And our God is going to show us very clearly how much He loves us. He loves us so much. Can you picture this? He loves us so much that He has allowed us to live at this time. Not only to live at this time, but He loves us so much that He has given us the divine will. He's given us Louisa. Not only that, but He today has given us the blessing of Louisa from Father Bucci. As Father Bucci was helped by Louisa, as Father Bucci was blessed by Louisa, as Father Bucci was prophesied over by Louisa, that all has been given to us. And all that Father Bucci asks is that we become apostles of the divine will. And that doesn't mean you do anything but begin to live this, that this becomes your life. And as you embrace this, you walk into a mall, the divine will is there in the midst of creatures. You walk into your family, the divine will is there in the midst of your family. And you don't have to worry about anybody. Jesus says, you do what I want, live in the divine will, and I will do everything that you want. I'm not worried about my family. I'm not worried about my friends, my neighbors, my co-workers, or pushers. I know God is going to take care of them. But He is asking me to do more than them. He's asking me to live in the divine will. How do you live in the divine will? By reading, studying, and putting this into practice. It's the reading is necessary. The study is necessary. The practice is necessary. Vine 25, 2, 10, 29. And this is the reason why you, Louisa, make your round in the acts of my fiat, and as though as many waves of light pass through your mind, in which you follow and feel impressed into yourself like many scenes, the creation of Adam in the act of being created, and the Queen of Heaven, Mary, in the act of being conceived, and the word Jesus descending, and many more acts done by divine will. So you see, we're not trapped by time or space. You can be in the Garden of Eden when Adam was created. You can be in Nazareth when Our Lady was conceived. You can be at Nazareth when Jesus was conceived. There's no time or space. You can actually be there, and this is not a pious thought. Like I said, in the contemplative prayer, you pray in your nothingness, yet at the same time you pray filled with everything, filled with divinity. Now Jesus is saying, I want more for you. I want to take you as I took Louisa. And again, this is why it's important to have a priest, so that you can say, Father, am I going out of my mind, or is this actually true? And he'll tell you. You know, he'll say, you know, continue to pray, or just back off for a bit. And if the prayer keeps on coming, and you say, well, this is what Jesus says, and you show this to the priest, you make him aware of how much God loves you, how much God loves him, that he is showing this, you are showing this priest the divine will. Jesus says very clearly, it is the power of my creating fiat that wants to always do, always give, without ever ceasing. Therefore, be attentive. For this is about something too great. See, Jesus says, be attentive. This is so beautiful. This is so holy. This is so great. You know, he says, no less than you're having to remain in the acts of undergoing the continuous act of creating my divine will. It will feel it has not completed its work. Sorry. In you, if it does not see all the acts of its acts enclosed in your soul, and as the attestation and triumph of its reigning in you. See, the divine will wants to conquer you. And you want the divine will to conquer you. You want to enter into this life of God. You don't want your human will to be in charge anymore. You don't want the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the sin to reign in you anymore. You want to live this true life of Jesus. You want to live this true life of Mary, found in Louisa, the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. And all that Jesus says is, read, give your fiat, and let me reign. See, there's three things to the divine will. He says, you have to know this, you have to love this, and you have to let it reign in you. Those are the three things that are necessary. You have to know this by reading it. You have to love this by reading it. You have to let it reign by reading this. The more that you read, the more God is going to reign in you. The more peaceful you will be. The more happy you will be. The more joyful you will be. The more you become apostles of the divine will. And it's nothing that you have to do. It's to become one with God, to let him reign in you. This is what the divine will is. To have, like when you receive Holy Communion, to fall so in love with God that you are your heart is burning with love. To fall in love with our Eucharistic Lord. To fall in love with our Blessed Mother. To when you wake up in the morning, you put your scapular on, you kiss it, saying, this is the clothing of heaven. Symbolic of the royal garments that I will someday receive. See, we have to really begin to live heaven and no longer the place of this earth. This is what the divine will is. How beautiful, how happy are the souls that live in it. Therefore, all is attention is in looking at whether all the acts have life in you. And you say to Jesus, I don't understand what this means, but I want all the acts having life in me. I want what you want, Lord. And do you know how these acts are created in you? As for you, calling them, recognizing them, and loving them. Again, it's the fiat. I call them, I recognize them, and I love them. My volition, by pronouncing its fiat over your call and over your love, forms the life of its acts in you, and the continuity of its works in you is such that it does not stop even in seeing you tortured by the pain of my privation, because it has much to do, and therefore it moves on. And I, God, let it do so, because you and I must give primacy to our volition in everything. Primacy in the will of God in everything, for the just triumph and its cause, and to give it the field in order to form its kingdom. See, that's our job, to form the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.